Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, the Lord has been taking us on a journey these last few weeks since the term began. And if the Holy Spirit is leading us, we're always going somewhere. We're never static. The very word lead is a word of movement. You can only lead if you're going somewhere and if there are others that are following you. So the Holy Spirit has been leading us in a particular direction. And of course there is always order in the way in which He leads, and He knows the objective to which He is leading us. Now, there's three main things that the Lord has been doing in the last three Tuesdays. Remember, during the first week of term, God was talking to us about our first love and really what it means to maintain Jesus as our first love, and how that means that anything and everything in our lives that is a contradiction to that love has to go, and Jesus has to have the preeminence in everything if we are to really be restored to that first love. Then He gave us that word that led to some pretty deep repentance here about what He held against us was not so much that, but that there were negative attitudes and things towards one another. Now, when God is preparing people for revival, He always talks first about relationship with Him and secondly about relationship with one another. You can't avoid the two because, as we know, if you don't love your brother who you do see, you cannot love God who you do not see. So it's inevitable if God is taking us through a process of revival that we have to look at our horizontal relationships as well as our vertical relationship with the Lord. And we know that He's called us to love one another as He has loved us, and our love for Him is only a response to His love for us. He has taken the initiative in that. Well, we can hardly love one another as He has loved us unless we are merciful towards one another as He is merciful towards us. Because the first way in which we experience His love is through His mercy, through His forgiveness, His acceptance. So we know how important it is to God, that if He is so merciful to us, we are merciful towards one another. And that's the first way in which we have to express love towards others, so that we're never at odds, we're never holding on to any negativity in our attitudes towards others. And it's not just keeping your relationships right, it's having that right heart attitude. You see, the first love is a heart attitude, the loving of one another is a heart attitude. Then last Tuesday we had that powerful morning when we were coming against Leviathan and all the deceiving spirits that are constantly opposing God's people, been opposing us here, and this is the case many other places. It won't surprise you that after that message last week, I was receiving phone calls from other people that have listened to the message and said, that's the spirit that has been attacking our church. This is becoming a pretty widespread phenomenon now, that people understand that wherever God is doing a strategic thing, He sends His most powerful spirits to try to stop them. And Leviathan is one of the most powerful of the demonic spirits, perhaps even the most powerful after Satan himself. So, you know, it's a privilege to be attacked. Jesus said, you know, when you're persecuted and all the enemy comes against you, rejoice. Why? Because we have the victory. Yes. And we had a victorious time last week. And we're living in the good of that victory. So we're living in the good of these three things. God is restoring that first love for him. That's a process, and it's going to continue in these coming weeks. God has been dealing with any issues that are outstanding in our love for one another, mercy towards one another, forgiving one another, making sure that our heart attitudes are right towards God and towards one another. And also understanding that we have to have this victorious, aggressive attitude towards the enemy. He's the one that you're allowed to be aggressive towards. It's good that there's someone you can kick their teeth in and know you're doing the will of God and not going against the will of God. So don't kick each other's teeth in. Just give the enemy a dose. Now, where is all this leading us to? At the same time, Pastor Clive has been talking about the fear of the Lord, because, of course, all this leads us into the fear of the Lord. And it creates a greater sense of the fear of God among his people. And we heard a message about how God wants to build the church and how we need to have a heart for that building. Now, how can we bring all this together? How can God bring all this together? Well, very easily. What he wants above everything else is for you to know his glory. Now, it says in Psalm 145 that each generation is to speak to the next generation about the glory of his kingdom. So, glory and the kingdom go together. Now, the question was posed, you see, on Sunday about needing to feel what God feels. Well, what does God feel? What is on his heart? And the answer to that is his heart is for his kingdom. His heart is to see the glory of his kingdom revealed among his people. So when he teaches his disciples how to pray, the very heart of what we call the Lord's Prayer is, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Now, heaven, of course, is the place of the throne of glory, where God reigns in majesty, honor, and glory. So what Jesus is telling us to pray is that we want the kingdom of the kingdom of God to be manifested here on earth in glory as it is in heaven. Now, we won't see the full manifestation of the kingdom on earth until Jesus comes again. But now we are to be revealing the glory of his kingdom. And we are to be able to speak to the next generation of the glory of the kingdom. Now, you can only speak of what you know. And God was reminding us last week when we were overcoming these demonic spirits that attack the church, that we are seated in heavenly places. God sees us, not that we will be there, but we are already there. We are already in that place. And it's from that place that we are able to rule and reign in life, as the scripture puts it. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the glory, but above all, we're going to encounter the Lord in his glory. Because we can only speak of what we know. So God wants every one of us to know the glory. Now, it's one thing to have a glimpse of glory. It's another thing to gaze upon his glory. And you see, what God wants to do is to bring us to the place where we don't just have glimpses of his glory every time the worship hits a particular peak. But he wants us to be in the place, in the relationship with him, where whenever we pray, we gaze upon his glory. Now, that's not a selfish thing to do, because the more time you spend gazing upon his glory, the more of his glory will be reflected in your life. Amen. And the more his glory is reflected in your life, the more fruit you will bear for his glory. Amen. And what many Christians don't realize is that it is possible to gaze upon his glory because of the heavenly position that God has given us. So this is going to be a good morning.
Yes.
I said this is going to be a good morning.
Yes.
Because we're going to gaze upon his glory. But you see, the purpose of doing that is to glorify him, but also so that his glory may be reflected in us. Now let me just read you one or two scriptures. You don't have to turn to them now because I'm going to move quickly. The Lord... In Isaiah, we read this, "The Lord himself will be your eternal light, and your God will be your glory." The Lord himself will be your eternal light. Now, to understand the glory, we've got to understand light. God manifests the radiance of his glory in light. The first thing that he created was light. And as I've explained to you before, the power is in the light. Wherever the light shines, the power of God is manifested, because darkness cannot withstand the light. So the things of darkness cannot withstand the light of his glory. So God is light. Just as God is holy, God is almighty, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So in his kingdom there is no darkness. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom." Yes. So the kingdom is the kingdom of light. Paul says that when we become believers, God delivers us from the dominion of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, the kingdom of the Son he loves is diametrically opposed to the dominion of darkness, because it is the kingdom of light. And when John is opening his gospel, he says that Jesus came as the light. He came into the darkness of the world. He came with the light of his glory. Now, the scripture says that he had to empty himself of the glory that he had in heaven. He had to accept the limitations of humanity. But what he did was to radiate the light of his glory in the things that he did. So, John says that with Jesus came the light of life. That light produces life. It produced natural life when God created, But that light produces the spiritual life, the glory of God, in the lives of his people. So fear not, little flock, your Father has chosen to give you this kingdom of light. And Jesus said, that kingdom is not over here or over there, but that kingdom is within you. So the light is within you. This rule and reign of light. Because the kingdom, as we know, is not a place. It's where Jesus rules and reigns. So you have the rule and reign of his light within you. Now, because light and darkness cannot coexist, if your life is given over to the kingdom of light, all the darkness is going to disappear from your life. The darkness cannot coexist with the light. Now, why God spoke to us about his first love is he's saying the only things that temper that love, that reduce the effectiveness of that love, is things of darkness that we have allowed into our lives. So we kick out the things of darkness. When he's talking to us about our attitudes to one another, he is saying, don't allow any dark attitudes of judgment, of criticism, of negativity to enter into your thinking about one another, because you're a children of light. And your brother is a child of light. Your sister is a child of light. So don't look at them with the critical attitudes of darkness, but only with the attitudes of light. Now you see, love, God is not only light, he is love. So love is light. Love brings light. When you love people, something of the light of God comes and shines into their lives, setting them free in all kinds of ways. Love is a great healing property. So then, you see, when the enemy comes against us, it's to try to sow seeds of darkness in our thinking, towards God, towards one another, because he is absolutely, utterly opposed to the light. So everything that the enemy does is darkness. He's the deceiver of the brethren. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser. All darkness. And of course, what the Lord wants is he doesn't want us to be doing the enemy's work for him. Peter was the mouthpiece of Satan when he contradicted what Jesus said. And it's possible for us to be the mouthpiece of Satan or of some deceiving demonic spirit when we allow darkness into our hearts, into our attitudes, onto our lips, especially towards one another or towards others. Because we're not called to judge, but to share in the ministry of Jesus to save. He said, I haven't come to judge, I've come to save. So we can see that all that God has been doing in our lives these last few weeks is like a progressive thing that speaks first of our relationship with God, then of our relationship with one another, then the kind of relationship we need towards the deeds of darkness, towards the powers of darkness. All because he is preparing the way for a greater revelation of the light of his glory. You're getting too excited again, aren't you? Calm down, because it's Tuesday morning. So, he wants that glory to shine out of us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Light is not something for us to have, to keep for ourselves, and to say, well, praise God, he's dealt with areas of darkness. You see, the reason why he deals with those areas of darkness is so that more of his light will shine out of you.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't glorify the Lord if in some ways the light is shining out, but in other ways there's darkness. And you see, that's the thing that traps many believers. They say, well, look at what God is doing through me. If God wasn't pleased with me, he wouldn't be doing with me. Well, he's pleased in the ways he can use you, but he's not pleased in the ways that do not reflect his glory. So all the time there is this process where God wants us to become more and more like him, to take us from one degree of glory to another. So you see, what God has been doing in these last few weeks is precisely that, taking us from one degree of glory to another. Now, his message to us this morning is very simple. It says, I don't want anything in your lives that doesn't glorify me. Yes. I want to be glorified in the way that you relate to me. I want to be glorified in the way you relate to one another. I want you to be glorified in the way that you relate to the world. I want to be glorified in the way you overcome the enemy. Now, this is what it means to be a kingdom people. And if we're to feel what God feels, you see, if we're to have a heart after his own heart, then our real desire is for his glory, not for our self-esteem, not for our position, not for our ministries, but for his glory. Because the more our desire is for his glory, the more he is able to use us. And you remember, if we go back to that first week about the first love, the problem is that for many people, their ministries become more important than the Lord. That's what causes them to lose their first love. And they're very happy because they see the way in which God is using them, but God says, but I hold this against you. You have lost your first love. He says, I know all about your deeds. I know all about your hard work. I know all about the ways in which I'm using you. But don't you understand that everything is to be for my glory? Then I can use you far more effectively. You see, our aim is always revival for a generation, isn't it? Nothing less than God's best. And while we tolerate any areas of darkness, we cannot move into revival. While we allow any darkness at any of these levels, there will not be revival. The first thing that happens in a time of revival is God cleanses out all the darkness. And so that's what he's been doing in these last few weeks, taking us through a process. Now, there comes a point at which you have some encounter with God whereby that which you could not do yourself, God does, because there are only certain things that we can see for ourselves. But when God shows you yourself as he sees you, you see a whole lot of other things that you never even realized were darkness. You've been trying to justify the way you think, the way you act, the way attitudes you have. And God says, no, all that stuff is rubbish. This is what I perceive to be darkness. And that's actually quite a disarming thing when it happens, because, you know, you feel about a millimeter high, but then you get this amazing manifestation of God's mercy, greater than you've ever known before, because you realize that God knows all about this, yet still he is merciful towards you. And God has known everything in your life that has not glorified him, every thought that hasn't glorified him, yet still he has loved you, still he's persisted in his mercy and grace towards you. Still he hears your prayer. Still he answers you. And yet still you're some way short of the best that he desires for you. And if we're pitching for revival, you see, we're pitching for the best. Not just the best in terms of quality, because with the quality comes the quantity, but the right kind of quantity. There are some very popular churches, big churches of thousands of people, but that does not necessarily mean those are the churches that will glorify the Lord. God said to me many years ago, when we were first in revival, you can either have a popular church or a faithful church. Which do you want? Because you see, the popular is not faithful, and the faithful is not popular. I mean, if you read what the scriptures say about discipleship, you have got to have a real heart after God to want to be a disciple.
Yes.
If you just want to use God to bless you, to prosper you, and to meet your needs, you want a popular church, not a faithful church. But if you really want your life to count for something and for God to use you in the way that he desires in order to bear much fruit for his glory, then you need a faithful church.
Yes.
And what we aspire to be here is such a faithful church.
Amen.
So, you know, a lot of people come here, they get their needs met, and then they drift away because they don't necessarily want a faithful church. They just want to use God to meet their needs. Now, God is happy to meet the needs of his children, but so that he can be glorified in their lives and they can be free to manifest more of the life of his kingdom. Right, now, we've talked about light and darkness. And as you know from your studies of John's Gospel, that is a theme that runs throughout John's Gospel. But let's talk now about positive and negative. Because you see, everything about God is positive, so everything about his kingdom is positive, everything about the light is positive, but everything about the darkness is negative, everything about Satan is negative, everything about his dominion is negative. So actually, it's quite easy to know when we are really walking in the revelation of God's light, of the light of his kingdom, and when we are tolerating any darkness. It's as simple as this. When you're being positive, you're in the light. When you're being negative, you're in darkness. Now you see, mercy is positive. Forgiveness is positive. Love is positive. Truth is positive. All the qualities of love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, they're all positive. Everything about God, everything about his kingdom is positive. Jesus died on the cross to take every negative upon himself so that we could be delivered from everything that is negative, and then the Spirit of God could fill us with everything that is positive. We never have any cause to justify being negative. Never. We never have the right to be negative, ever. We might think we do, but in reality, if you know the scriptures, you don't. You have stepped out of the purpose of God whenever you step into the negative. You're stepping out of light and into darkness. You're allowing an area of darkness to invade your life. Now, God doesn't want that. He's not working in us week by week to get rid of the darkness for us then to allow other areas of darkness to be manifested in our lives. Are we there?
Yes.
So, I mean, this is not a life for chickens. This is a life for those that are going to be bold, that are going to persevere in faith, and are going to persevere in love. Now, the great thing is that when we allow a negative in, there is immediate forgiveness as soon as we repent. See, all sin is negative. Everything that opposes the Word of God is negative. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is negative. Righteousness is positive. Are we getting it? So you see, We have to begin with the way you think. If you pause for a moment, you know when you're thinking positively, you know when you're thinking negatively. You might get into a negative flow of thinking without realizing it, but then suddenly you will be brought up short because the Holy Spirit lives within you. As if the Holy Spirit says, "What do you think you're doing?" That's darkness. It's not light. You go on thinking that way, you will speak darkness and you will begin to act in darkness. So you see, John in his first letter says, the one who does not love his brother is still walking in darkness. Why? Because if he doesn't love his brother, he has a dark attitude. Whether it's because he judges or doesn't forgive or takes offense or whatever it is, or whether he's just plain selfish, proud, self-righteous, whatever it is, shows that he has a wrong heart attitude towards others. That's darkness. So God says, in effect, get sorted. Because I want my light to fill you in every way, spirit, soul, and body. Listen to me. Sickness is darkness. Why does God want it out of your life? Because it doesn't belong to the kingdom of light. It wasn't put there as a result of the kingdom of light. But you see, if we want the darkness of sickness out of our lives, we need to have the darkness in other ways out of our lives too. This is why God deals with us as people. He doesn't deal with us simply as victims of sickness or affliction of some kind. It's not the disease he wants to heal, it's the person he wants to heal.
Yes.
And so you see, he says, it says in James, if any of you are sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint them in oil. But then it says, confess your sins one to another. And the prayer of faith will raise the sick man from his bed. You know, sometimes people say to me, well, we anointed so-and-so and it didn't work. I say to them, did you confess your sins to one another? And they look at me as if I've flown in from Mars. So, well, this is what the Word of God says. Why, you see, what God wants to ensure is that there's no darkness in those that are anointing. There's no darkness in those that are being anointed. Hello? Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with God here, you see, and this is why what Pastor Clive has been saying about the fear of God is just so important. We can't make up the rules. We can't tell God on what principles he is to work. We have to go by his ground rules. Now, if God had his way with his church everywhere would be in revival.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Why isn't that the case? Because there's so much darkness in the church. And until there is repentance of the darkness, God cannot have his best way for his church. And while it's true, you see, that God is building his church, what we have to have, if we have a heart after God, is a kingdom mentality. We're thinking kingdom, but we're not thinking just in terms of seeing the kingdom extended. We're seeing the kingdom in terms of living the kingdom life. Because the more effectively we live the kingdom life, the more we shall see the kingdom extended. You see, you can build, and people are doing this all over the nation at this time, you can build churches if you apply certain principles of how to build a group of people together. There are many books about this, books on leadership, books on church growth, building church, and so on. You can do all that. You don't actually have to have much anointing to do it. If you understand certain human dynamics, you can build in that way. But you see, what we're called to do in the body of Christ is not just build, but to build what will glorify God. That's why the message on Sunday morning was so important. Now, the more kingdom-minded, kingdom-centered, kingdom-orientated we are, the more actually we will be able to build, or God will build, what will glorify Him. But if we persist in allowing things to come in that are going to take us away from the best place we could be in our relationship with God, or the best place in which we could be in the relationship with one another, or the best way in which we can overcome the enemy, then we're not going to see revival till we repent of all those things that we allow. In other words, our heart desire, our heart longing is for the glory of God, is for the light of God. Now, John in the opening of his gospel says a significant thing, that men preferred the darkness because their deeds were evil. You see, the problem with coming into the light is you become exposed. Not to other people, but you begin to see what God sees. You begin to see what doesn't please Him. You begin to see what has hindered His best purpose in your life. The amazing thing about God is it doesn't matter how far you get off the track so long as you repent and come back to the light. Like with the parable of the prodigal son, the father is willing, always ready, running down the road with a tender heart to meet the repentant one. And he was a son, remember. He wasn't somebody that belonged to the world. He was a son. And you see, this is the work that God has to do in every one of us, that we really want what He wants so much, to such a degree, that we will give ourselves wholeheartedly over to Him. Not the ministry, not the work, but to Him. Because He knows then the ministry, the work, will not only expand, but the quality of the work will be so much greater. Because more of His light, more of His glory, more of His truth, more of His life, more of His power will be manifested in the activity. Are we getting this? I've been excited. I mean, God was giving me this message about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was getting so excited. But nobody else seems excited this morning. I think this is a really exciting message, because, you know, when God starts to talk to us like this, it's because He is about to do something of real significance, so long as we respond to what He's saying. You see, He wants the light of His glory to shine out of us. So it's not just a question of, do I know the light? Do I experience the light? Can I talk about the light? But is the light of His glory shining out? Yeah. Is that having an impact? Now, I believe that that is happening increasingly, but we've still got a little way to go. There's so much more that God wants to reveal through us. And that's simply an indication that there's more that He needs to do in us. But what He wants to do in us doesn't come by self-analysis, by looking at yourself, but looking at the glory and letting the light of His glory open you up. So you see what he sees. And you go, ah! And that moves you to repentance. It takes your eyes way off other people. You're no longer got your eyes on other people. God is saying, you see, your problem isn't others, your problem is you.
Yes.
And your relationship and attitude towards others. That's an indispensable prelude to true revival. And that's when you see the fear of the Lord comes upon you, because you realize, I'm not in a position to judge or criticize anybody. When I see myself as God sees me and understand how merciful he has been to me, and how many of my attitudes, I might justify them and think I'm right in having them, but to God they're darkness. Yeah. They're not light.
Yeah.
And that's when we see things as he sees them, and that moves us to a deeper repentance than anything we've known before. You see, you can repent of what you do see, but you can't repent of what you don't see until God shows it to you. Are we there?
Yes.
And it needs the light of his glory to penetrate right to our hearts, to show us what to him is light and what to him is darkness, what glorifies him and what dishonors him, what pleases him and what displeases him. And this brings us full circle, you see, back to that love for him. If you love someone, you want to please them. You think of scripture like, for example, do all things without questioning or grumbling. And what do you realize? Well, to God, questioning his word, his will, grumbling, complaining is darkness.
Yes. True.
There's no glory in those things.
Yes.
There's no glory in those things. And that's why we have the word to guide us. That's why when we read the word, we can see what is light and what is darkness. But it's how we respond when we see those things. It's easy to read the word of God and think that he's talking about everybody else except you, when you come across something that is challenging. It's easy to turn the page and look for something that you want to read rather than that which you need to read. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But you see, if we want to glorify the Lord, we stay with what we need to read, with what he is actually saying to us at that time. Now, last week we had that powerful time overcoming the enemy. The enemy is darkness. Can you not see, therefore, if we allow any darkness into our attitudes, into our thinking, into our relationships, into our lives in any way, that gives the enemy attitude? It gives the enemy his opportunity. He's rejoicing, not the Lord. The enemy is glorified in the darkness, not Jesus. Ah, I've succeeded, the enemy says. I've succeeded in getting a dark attitude. Come on, demons. Capitalize on that. So you've got to understand how the enemy works. Did you know there's a scripture that says, give no opportunity to the devil? The trouble is, when we give him opportunity, it affects not only our lives, it affects the others around us. Because, you see, what is going to flow out of us is not the light of his glory, but the darkness of a wrong attitude or whatever it may be. It can be any number of things. So we're at a good place now in the sense that God knows we're ready to hear a message like this. You say, okay, you want to pitch for the best? Are you ready to go for the best? Are you ready for me to be glorified in every area of your life? Are you ready to face up to whatever does not glorify me then? Are you ready to throw out everything that is darkness, everything that doesn't glorify me? Even the things that you have not yet identified as darkness. So I think God's getting excited, even if you're not. Because he's at the point now where he says, okay, I'm now getting you ready for the glory. I'm getting you ready for the glory. In fact, the light of the glory begins when we open ourselves up to the light. What scripture helps us there? Search my heart, O God, to see if there is any wicked way in me. It's not whether I'm at a level that satisfies me. And, well, you know, I've come to a good place in God, and I can do my job, I can be a student, I can take my place on the team, I can see God using me, and I can see fruit, and good things are happening. Hallelujah, I'm happy. God says, but I'm not. Because I can still see darkness. And I know you will be much, much better off without the darkness. Without the negativity. Because that darkness gives opportunity to the devil. And you're not going to live as overcomers if you keep giving him opportunity. So praise God. What's he going to do? He's going to make you a positive person. In every way, in spirit, in soul, and body, the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act. Every attitude will be a negative attitude, will be a positive attitude. Every attitude will be a faith attitude. Every attitude will be a love attitude. See, because this is what the kingdom is all about. It's the kingdom of faith. It's a kingdom of love. It's a positive kingdom. Every thought, every attitude will be positive, positive, positive. So much so that as soon as anything negative happens, you immediately back away. No! That does not belong to me, to the body of Christ, or to the things of God. No! As soon as the thought comes, no! Even a critical thought of someone, no! That's darkness. And you see, what the enemy does is he sows these thoughts and then blames you for having them. Instead of taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. No! And this is where you see, is as the glory takes a greater and greater hold of you, you become more and more authoritative. Authoritative. More of his authority. It's not just a, no, 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 no. I don't want that thought. No! shall not think like that. I shall not have that. I shall not entertain that thought. When you hear people being negative, no! I mean, you might not be able to say it out loud, but inside you're saying, no, I reject that. I'm not even listening to that. That's gossip. It's rubbish. It's not of the kingdom. It's not of God. No! And even when you're tempted to have negative thoughts about yourself, no! I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the light. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm totally accepted in the Beloved. I am Jesus Christ is my righteousness, my holiness, and my redemption. I'm not accepting any of those negative thoughts. They are not true of me as I am in Christ. Amen. No! Amen. The positive kingdom. Light. Glory. Not darkness. Not negativity. Glory. I'll finish with this. You see, light always, always, always overcomes darkness. It is impossible for darkness to withstand light. As soon as you shine the light into the darkness has to disappear. As soon as those things of darkness that we have allowed into our lives get exposed to the light, they disappear. You try to conceal them from the light, and they persist within you. Those wrong heart motives, desires, thoughts, attitudes persist. Expose them to the light, and the light will triumph every time. Yes. And the more you gaze upon His glory, the more you are filled with the light. Just need to give ourselves time to do that, see? And to believe that we can do it because we're seated in heavenly places. And what does He say? Draw near to my throne of grace. That throne of grace is the throne of glory. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.